The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Y'all, final hour of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns sitting in for Mr. Feinbaum. As always, you can hit me up or yell at me or compliment me, whatever you want to do on Twitter, at Peter Burns ESPN. That phone number, as always, 855-242-PAUL. As we get into some of the headlines here in this last hour, SEC college leaders descend on Capitol Hill to lobby for NIL reform. Please save us, Congress. That's basically what they went up there to do. Did they get any of it accomplished? Who the heck knows? We do know this. Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director over at Notre Dame, is going to be stepping down. It announced it today, and we have now another television exec that's going to be a part of major big-time college athletics. And so successor has already been named, and Swarbrick is going to be gone after next year. So your phone calls right now, 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Let's go to Old Daddy. I never thought I'd utter those two words on national television. What's up, man?
Well, what you mean? Old Daddy from Mississippi, you know, Ole Miss, Old Daddy.
But
anyway,
okay.
I want to call about the scheduling of the teams. You know, you can't go to a East and West Conference. You got to go to a 14 division, four of those, and you got to keep a rivalry in there. And so, you know, I think you got to have like Missouri and Oklahoma and Texas and Texas A&M and Division One, and like Arkansas, LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State in Division Two, and Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt in three, and then, of course, you got Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and Kentucky. And then one year you have Division One playing Division Two, and Division Three and Division Four, and then you rotate them. And then each year, whichever conference you're not playing every game with, then you have one. If you want to go to eight, then you have one game that you rotate in the other conferences, and you just keep going like that. And when you have Division One playing Division Two, the best team there will play Division Three and Division Four in Southeastern Conference Championship. Mm-hmm. I think that would give a lot of excitement to the scheduling and all like that.
Well, Daddy, I think, you know, what you're talking about is kind of something we discussed maybe last year over at SEC Media Days, which was a little bit more of a pod system. Now, the SEC has elected not to go with that. They're going to go straight, no divisions, just all 16 teams right now. But, again, they're still looking at...
Yeah, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Well, when you will have Alabama and Georgia playing each other every year. I think you need to rotate them around where every now and then, you know, you would have Alabama and Georgia playing, but this other way, everybody is playing the teams that they usually play, like Ole Miss and Mississippi State and playing LSU and playing Arkansas and so forth and so on. But then you get a different one every year, and I think it just keeps, you know, a little bit more excitement in there. And but, you know, Alabama and Georgia every year, that just wouldn't be right.
Well, Old Daddy, thank you for the phone call. But keep in mind, too, I mean, we saw that it wasn't Alabama in Georgia last year. So it was LSU in Georgia, right? And we've seen Auburn make runs over there. So, again, I think that the league is going to look at 2024 as a one-off. They're going to look at this and say, we're playing an eight-game conference schedule. We're going to schedule this in 2024. We're going to take a step back and see what we liked, what we did not like about it, and then we're going to do what we want to do in 2025. I think that ultimately is where they look at. And they have the right to do that because they've earned the respect of everybody in the college football playoff landscape, right? I mean, when you win 13 of the last 17 national championships, when you dominate the draft day, everybody knows that this is the premier conference of college football. You don't have to do anything for anybody. You could be slow to adapt because guess what? Their way has always adapted, and their way has worked for the last, since 2005 for the most part. So I think they're going to take their time, and then, hey, if they want to play more games, then, you know, how much money more is involved for the schools? I think that's part of the factor as well. Cooper is in Knoxville. What's up, Cooper?
Yeah, brother. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. How you doing?
I'm good, man, good. Nice day in Knoxville, not too smoky. I just wanted to – I've been trying to ask, you know, I know it was just at the end of the show, but I haven't really gotten the question in. How is Joe Milton not a preseason All-SEC, if not All-American quarterback? I mean, just based off Vanderbilt, I'm not sure what his total numbers are, but if I remember right, I think he beat Clemson by what? 30 points?
I know it was such a beatdown that Clemson football didn't even post the final score, Cooper, so that's part of it.
That's my question. Why is he – is there a Vegas bet that you could take on Milton?
I'm sure there is if you were in a state that allowed such legal things or to go to Vegas and put money on him as a Heisman Trophy candidate. I mean, think about it this way. I can't imagine Joe Milton being as big of an underdog right now than Joe Burrow was coming into 2019. Remember, Burrow in 18, he was not looked at as great. And Milton's been around that offense. You've seen a couple of games since Hendon got banged up. The question is, did he find some touch? I think that's the question.
Can he not throw it through the goalpost in the swamp or out in California? But he obviously did because he beat Clemson. How many yards did he have between those two games? I don't know. Against Clemson, I can't remember, man. I think it was like around – didn't Tennessee beat Clemson by 30 points?
I don't remember what the stat line was, but I will tell you this. I can't imagine him being outside one of the top 10 vote getters as far as kind of a Heisman
trophy. Well, he is, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you think that that's something that's comprehensible for him not to be All-SEC?
Honestly, if I'm a Tennessee fan, I'm glad that he's not.
Regardless of what fan.
Yeah, I mean, regardless if he's all-SEC, all-American preseason, who the hell cares if you're whatever preseason? That don't matter. I've seen a lot of preseason guys that have washed out. Remember Jeremy Johnson? That guy was going to win the Heisman at Auburn. He turned out to be not very good for the Tigers. So,
Like
to me, I look at it and I'm like, if I'm a Tennessee fan, I want to be underneath the radar. I don't want nobody talking about Joe Milton.
Exactly,
hell, I want
bro.
Him disrespecting Joe Milton. So he goes, all right, sure. I want people to say that Josh Heupel can't coach now that Hendon Hooker's gone and it's just a flash in the pan. Great. Tell Heupel that. Get them all fired up.
I think we're past that. I think we're already past that, bro. I think what will happen with Heupel is he'll probably be one of the, you know, prodigies for Alabama to try to get. Even though he's up to $9.5 million, if I'm correct, I'm not sure. But, I just don't understand how Milton is not in the talks at all.
Well, Cooper, the good news we go back and look, too, and if you look at their schedule, they're going to play Virginia right off the bat. Then I think they have, Austin Peay, so they should be able to put up big numbers. They play at Florida, should be able to have some success. Well, actually, the interesting game against them in Knoxville is I think they play UTSA next year, the Fighting Roadrunners. Jeff Traylor's done a fantastic job. They will probably be ranked as well. So there's a very distinct opportunity that coming into October 21st, Joe Milton and the Tennessee Volunteers are undefeated at Alabama. And all bets are off. I mean, we saw what happened last year, okay? I'm very curious what happens with Bama this year. Remember, week two, they got Texas, which a lot of people think that they're going to be a little bit better. Steve is in Alabama. Thanks for joining us on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Steve, what's up?
Yeah, I think you even referred to it earlier in the show. I'm sitting here enjoying the show. You're doing a great job. But you referred to it that LSU's coming to Alabama this year. If you'll check your stats, Alabama wins more games at Death Valley than LSU does. If you start in 1970, which is, I'm 68 years old, and if you would just pull up the stats and see how many times Alabama has 1 at Death Valley. We win more there than we do at home. It's like a 50-50 game.
What do you think this year, Steve?
This year, I think Alabama beat them. I was looking at y'all's sheet earlier where we have 90% of the blue chip recruits.
Yeah.
Saban's just done a great job.
Yeah, that was. Go ahead. All right, Steve, thank you for the phone call. Yeah, I mean, again, that was Bud Elliott's five-star recruit list that he had. And again, that was so funny because Mike Florio or Pro Football Talk had an article a couple days ago saying, yeah, Saban, he's so frustrated with name, image, and likeness, and he can't get his arms around it. I'm like, bro, do you realize that in the last 2 years since name, image, and likeness has been allowed, Saban had the second-best recruiting class and the number one recruiting class? I think Nick's doing A-OK when it comes to getting guys in five stars to get down there to T-Town. More of your phone calls coming up next. We'll also talk to Todd Walker, a little college baseball as well. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. For those who are listening to us or watching us on television, they just saw Warren Morris hit his home run some 27 years ago today, June the 8th, 1996, giving the title to the LSU Tigers. A man who got a chance to win a title a couple years prior to that is Todd Walker. Didn't mean to date you, my man, but that's just the way it is. You go back and look at LSU now in this program. Let's go back. What do you remember about 96 and Morris hitting that home run? Because I forgot that was the first homer he had hit the entire season there, Todd.
Didn't let him hit. I mean, he was bunting because his wrist was broke, you know, and he went through most of the year. But they wanted him in the lineup. They called him Mercury Morris. He could run a little bit. And so they left him in there for that at bat. I think it's the first time in the history of sports that a guy had never hit a home run and hit a walk-off to win a championship. So couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I was in AAA in Salt Lake City in 96 in our locker room by myself watching that. Pretty impressive.
I was going to say impressive. And, of course, LSU's had a whole hell of a lot of success. Now they're going to be facing a Kentucky squad there in Baton Rouge. Did you see enough out of LSU and Jay Johnson's squad to think that they figured out the rotation decently?
Got a 1-2 punch with Paul Skeens and Ty Floyd. And I think the key to that series is for length out of both of them. They need to go 6 or 7 innings apiece. The offense is top 10 in the country in run production. Kentucky comes in with the best batting average within the 30-game schedule of the SEC at 282. So pretty good offenses, but if you believe that great pitching beats great hitting, it's going to be a low-scoring series.
We go back and look, and Kentucky plays a little bit more small ball, and I go back and look at how Jay Johnson pitched Paul Skeens, right? I mean, he did not throw him on Friday. He did throw him on Friday against Tulane. A lot of people were surprised. Might we see some changes, too? Because it looks like there might be some weather in Baton Rouge this weekend.
that's something you got to pay attention to, right? Because you don't want Paul Skenes to get all warmed up like he did in South Carolina and go out for two innings and then have a two-hour rain delay where you lose your ace. So they've really got to pay attention to that, and you better be right, because if you hold Paul Skenes out and it doesn't rain, then you're left with a messed up rotation. Same with Kentucky. I mean, they got some real arms. That was the most impressive run of arms I've seen in a regional with Kentucky, who was, you know, pretty good during the regular season. But now Mason Moore, Zach Lee, Austin Strickland, who only had his second start within the regional, was dynamic with that 94-95 mile an hour sinker and the wipeout slider. So Kentucky's bringing some arms to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. 3 p.m. over on ESPN. Over on ESPNU is the game you're going to have. You're going to be in Hattiesburg for that matchup. I love Tennessee, and since they brought Burns back into the bullpen, how has that team changed, and are they more equipped this year after what happened to them last year?
I think they're more equipped, and I think the main thing is the pressure release, right? I mean, you go 25-5 in the league, you're expected to win it with everybody else just laying down when you show up at the ballpark, and that didn't happen. Of course, Notre Dame beat them in three games in Knoxville Super Regional. They would have liked to have hosted, as it turned out, Southern Miss gets the host. The question mark for Tennessee was whether or not they travel well, and I think they answered that question in Week 10. They beat South Carolina 2 out of 3 and, of course, went into a Clemson regional, very good Clemson team, had won 17 in a row, 14-inning game in the 1-0 game, and they end up winning that regional. So Tennessee's answered the question as to whether or not they can travel well. They got three frontline starters. Chase Burns is dynamic out of the bullpen. Their bullpen as a whole is very good. They've hit 120 home runs in the league. And the defense has gotten better. So I think for Tennessee, they've got all the parts.
Yeah, more of a grounded team, maybe a little bit as well, too. And Vitello said, hey, this is a whole lot of a different squad than he maybe had last year. Not good, bad, or indifferent, just they've changed it a little bit. And to see if he's learned from kind of last year to keep them ready. On the flip side of it, I'm really intrigued, Florida and South Carolina. South Carolina beat the hell out of Florida the first time that we saw them. How much do you see that changing down in Gainesville this weekend?
Are we allowed to cuss on this show?
Well, I said hell.
I think that, okay. You know, South Carolina has Will Sanders, their number one. He's been out for most of the year. He's supposed to be a high draft pick. He did pitch out of the pen in the regional, so they have him back in some capacity. They're number two that they were expected to be, you know, their second best ace on the staff. Noah Hall has been out with a back injury. And so South Carolina's limping in a little bit, but they've still got Jack Mahoney, and they've got some really nice pieces of that bullpen. They can pitch it. And South Carolina, you know, at one point was leading the nation in home runs. So we know they can hit the long ball. They're good offensively, good defensively. So they're a well-rounded club. And then, of course, Florida, like LSU, one of the top five run-producing offenses in the country with those three guys, with Jack Caglione, you know, Josh Rivera, and Wyatt Langford. And then you have BT Riopel to that deal. He seems like every other bat he's hitting a home run. They're pretty solid offensively, and then they've got Hurston Waldrop and Brandon Sproat at the top of that rotation just striking everybody out. So they can give up some runs. Their fastballs get predictable at times, but they get ahead of you, they can strike you out. So Florida's dominant. That looks like they've got a less difficult path through the College World Series than the other side of the bracket.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for O'Sullivan to make another run like he did in 2017.
We'll see it. Yeah, the last time they were there is 2018. Hell, last time for South Carolina was back in 2012. So good to see Kingston get it going. Yeah. Good to see you have a hotel room and you didn't take the RV this week, right? Is that correct?
It's in the shop after that week in Hoover, man. I had some parts I had to replace. So now I'm in a hotel in Hattiesburg and moved my daughter out of LSU. So I've got furniture in the back of my truck in the parking lot that I've got covered up, and hope it stays where it is.
Todd Walker, college baseball Hall of Famer legend, is sitting there with furniture in Hattiesburg. Yeah, you just stars are just like us. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. All right.
All right, PB. Take care, man.
See you, Todd. I love that. I could just – Todd is one of the most unique people in the history of the world, right? I mean, again, like we would legitimately do Omaha together, and there would be times where I'd have to wake him up at like 7 p.m. I'm like, Todd, we got to go to the ballpark. He's like, yeah, I was just taking a nap. Like total ball player mentality. I love it. Let's go. Kate is in Alabama. Quick phone call real quick. What's up, Kate?
Hey, Peter. How are you doing this evening?
Doing great.
Yeah, first off, go Gators, and congrats to Florida for winning the national championship for golf. But my question here today was, I was looking on the news, and it appears that Roy McIlroy and Tiger Woods are, I don't know, they're like going to like a new like Los Angeles golf club. Could you explain that to me?
Yeah, so what it is they've got this, they've got a new golf league that Rory and Tiger kind of paired together, and I can't remember what it's called. It's like TGL, so whatever that actually stands for. I don't know, and I don't know what it means now that they have the LIV Golf and PGA Tour going to be under the umbrella. Like, again, I'm trying to figure it out, Cade. The whole world of golf is a little bit different. Now, I thought it was one of those things where it's like they virtually play these courses as opposed to actually being on the golf course. I thought that's what it was kind of about.
Yeah, I saw something about that. I don't think it's going to be something virtual. I think it's going to be more like a betting thing because it doesn't appear as if it's going to be like actual golf, but what you said about it being virtual, but I think it's going to be mainly on wagers and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, again, it is, they said John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Morikawa is going to be a part of it. I don't know. Again, I think everything is kind of up in arms right now that PGA Tour and LIV Golf have kind of combined forces as far as the investment fund. But I'll probably give it a watch, man. I appreciate the phone call.
Sure. All right. It appears that the Williams sisters are like co-owners of it.
Yeah, I think that's the thank you. That's what we see. I think it's more of kind of an entertainment television play versus it is like a normal kind of golf deal. So I think, yeah, Venus and Serena are part ownership of that Tiger Woods thing. It's supposed to launch in 2024. We'll see. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Tony, Michelle, Tyler, Matt, Dale, Cat Daddy, all your phone calls coming up next here on the Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Forward to it coming up on Wednesday, 2024, football opponents reveal. What a weird world that we live in now, right? Texas and Oklahoma will be joining in 2024. Who plays who, not necessarily when, but who, coming up on Wednesday. Me and Dario will be anchoring. Takeo Spikes, Chris Doering will be part of our coverage. We'll talk probably to Greg McElroy, Tim Tebow, and others coming up on Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. We've been waiting. No longer. Here he is. Hello, I-Man.
Peter Burns. Sounds so nice. You got to say it twice. Peter Burns. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Step inside. How are you doing?
I'm doing better now that you called. I was waiting for it. I was like patiently waiting. I mean, Jim in Tuscaloosa said, hey, be patient. Like, be mature. I-Man's coming to save you a little bit, and here you are.
Hey, it's like Christmas. It comes. And, I mean, you just wake up and be happy with what you got. So some people got an apple. Some people got an orange. Just be happy you got something. And if you don't like it, you could trade an orange for an apple, I reckon. If you're in good neighbors. If you're in good, cahoots with your neighbors. That's a real word out there. I bet many of them don't know cahoots. C- cahoots. We've in cahoots, cahoots, really big cahoots. Peter Burns, do you understand that Nick Saban carried his little ass up to Washington, D.C., because he wants to go up there and the big dogs be seen amongst all the senators and the Congress like we's helping the people. We down here helping the people. We're going to really help you real good. You know what he's doing up there, Peter Burns? That cheating ass is up there so he can get a damn limit on everybody else. Okay, so you only got $4,500 you can give a kid while he quietly sweeps under the table. $3,500 more. That's all he just wants to know everybody else's limit. Listen, the guy schemes, he schemes. You know, he's played all these big-name schools out of conference his whole career there at Alabama. But what he's quietly done is hired coaches from the former staffs of these teams he's got on in the future. And most of them just big-name, you know, big-name bread bags anyway. They wasn't much damn good when he got to them. It even blew up in his face. He hired that kid that Harsin fired from Birmingham, and Nick Saban scarfed him up. He wanted that playbook so bad, and guess what? He got that playbook, he got that extra coach, and Auburn damn near kicked that ass if it hadn't been for a running back running out of bounds. Would have whooped that ass, didn't matter how it happened. He's just up there, he's bargaining, hoping to find everybody else's limits, so he can go under the table like he's Bugsy Moran or Al Capone or somebody, and he's not even good at that. Now, Peter Burns, you have a great day, War Damn Eagle. Have a good one.
Thank you, Iman. People will try to respond to that. I offer you the phone line. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Cat Daddy, good luck following Iman there. What do you got for me?
Man, that I, man, I'm going to tell you what, he's almost like that Grisham guy writing them novels. He ought to write books because he sure puts a pretty picture together. But look at him. South Carolina is going to whoop Florida. We're going to win that game, and people best get ready because South Carolina's about to have the best football season they ever had with Spencer Rattler, who I have now named the Snake in honor of Kenneth Nabler. So look out for the Gamecocks, folks. They's coming.
Thank you, Cat Daddy. I appreciate it, bud.
I love to be optimistic. God bless y'all. Have a good.
There it is, Cat Daddy coming in. Dale in Colorado. What's up, Dale?
What's up, Peter?
I'm just enjoying the circus of Fine Bomb Show today, my friend.
Hey, man, it is a circus. Hey, I just want to comment on Miss Peggy's call a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
She sounded like a beautiful woman, you know, and she said, she, you know, read the tea leaves that Tennessee was going to be Georgia. I will just want to ask her, was it the THC leaves that she was reading? I want to comment on Matthew's call. You know, he said, you know, the top five teams in the SEC are Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. Of course, he's an Alabama fan. So I'm going to ask your opinion, Mr. Burns. I mean, you're sitting behind Paul's desk. So can you say with a straight face that you believe Alabama is the best team in the SEC?
No, I believe that's the Georgia Bulldogs are the best team in the SEC.
Go Dogs. Thank you, Mr. Burns.
There you go.
Good day.
Thank you very much. I mean, again, until they're proven wrong, the same thing I would have said Alabama when they were on the top of the heap as far as I would have said they were the best team. Georgia has shown that year in and year out. And I really, honestly, I don't know how much it would have mattered. I really wish that Oklahoma was still on the schedule this upcoming season for Georgia, because really that would have been the only one that I look at going, my goodness, you know, I think Tennessee will push them a little bit. I think Kentucky can give them a little bit of a scare. But my goodness, I mean, the rest of that schedule for Georgia, it's got to be absolutely, I mean, Kirby's got to be salivating right now. Michelle is in Georgia. Welcome in to the Paul Feinbaum Show with Peter Burns. What's up?
Hey, Peter, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to thank you for your advice to Georgia fans last season on SEC in the Morning. I watch it, of course, every Monday and Friday. I've been a Georgia fan my entire life. So I was a kid in 1980 when we won the national championship and waited all those grueling years until that interception by Keely Ringo, the floodgates just opened. Mm-hmm. And then last season, you repeatedly had to give advice to Georgia fans on stop being that fan that's waiting on the shoe to drop, because that's what we were accustomed to until we were national champions. And then you gave me the confidence to, at Georgia, Florida, a group of us always go to Georgia, Florida, and one of my girlfriends, who's a Georgia fan, has a boyfriend who's a Tennessee fan. He goes with us every year, and he, after Tennessee beat Kentucky so bad that night, he was bragging and saying they were going to beat us and all this, and so with a little bit of Peter Burns confidence and a little bit of liquid courage, I said, I'll bet you $100 that not only will we beat you, we will cover the spread, and you will not get in our end zone until the fourth quarter. All of my Georgia friends were like, you're crazy. That's the stupidest bet. He was going around saying it's the easiest $100 ever made. He went back to work Monday bragging that he was going to make $100 off this bet. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the third quarter, I started getting all these texts. They could not believe that I was actually right. But I thank you for that, because you gave me that confidence, changed my mindset as how Georgia has always felt.
Michelle, do I get a cut of the winnings at that point? Do I mean, like, the next time over at the, like, SEC, you know, media days or SEC championship, do I get, like, at least some nachos at a game or something?
I will buy you anything you want. I never got my $100, but just the satisfaction of winning it was great.
Why did you not get the $100? You did that. What happened?
He was so humiliated when he had to go back to work Monday, and all his friends, and I just felt bad for him. I was just so excited to win the bet that I didn't really care about the $100. It was just the fact that I won it.
No. Michelle, you need to call this guy. You need to get the $100. And even if you don't care about the money, you need to get the $100 for him and then frame it. Because y'all work together, right? Is that what you were saying?
No. Well, he works a different place than I do, but we all hang out together, yeah.
Okay. Well, then wherever you guys hang out, wherever's a place where y'all see each other, you need to bring that $100 bill and have it kind of in a frame and just show it. Occasionally, it's a breaking case of an emergency. Like, that $100 means something to you. Like, that was confidence right there.
Yep, that was great. I need to do that. I'll get it from him.
There he is. I want an update. You give us a call back on in football season on SEC this morning and let me know if that happens, okay?
Okay, I will do that. I'll send you a picture of it.
I'm in. Make sure on Twitter, at Peter Burns ESPN. Thanks, Michelle.
All right, thank you.
Again, I mean, you got to... Gotta collect, right? Yeah. Tony in North Carolina. What's up, Tony?
Hi. Going back to that 1992 game.
Yeah.
They had a reunion after the game, or a few years later, the players had a reunion, and Roy Kramer, the commissioner of the SEC, was there, and his comment, because it was his idea to split it into two divisions and have the playoff. And here he had Alabama with 11-0 playing Florida with an 8-3 record, and Florida was ahead in the fourth quarter. And he thought he was going to have to sneak out of town. These are his words. But Antonio Langham saved his bacon. He caught that interception and ran it in, and that's how Alabama won the game. It was an interesting – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, Tony, you're right, because you go back and look, and they've talked about that. You know, between Commissioner Slive and every Commissioner Sankey have talked about what in the world not only would have happened that year to college football, the SEC championship game, the city of Atlanta, all of this, right? Like, how many other conferences would have looked at it and said, man, the first year that they are doing this quote-unquote championship game, they just knocked themselves out? Like, that would have been – and it's amazing that the SEC hasn't cost themselves more national championship opportunities in championship games that have been played.
Right. That was a big, big turning point there as far as the SEC was concerned.
Yeah. It's one of those stories that I'd love to hear from behind the scenes of how worried people were. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate the phone call.
You're welcome.
There it is, 855-242-PAUL. Quick break. We're going to get Al and Tyler, Matt, you in here before we call it a day. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.